Scotland was just about to go into a lockdown, and I just sort of thought, you know, I need to get out here before that happens. So we were about to put the EP out, and then to get into the States, I had to go to Mexico first.
That's David Barr of the Scottish band The Moon Kids. I'm Jamie Green, and this is Trading Force. Hey everybody, welcome back to another edition of Trading Fours. I've got David Barr on today from the Scottish band The Moon Kids. And if you've listened to this podcast before, you probably figured out I dig Scotland a lot. You know, I've got Scottish ancestry, I've been to Scotland, I love Scotland, people are great, it's a beautiful country. So I jumped at the chance to get to talk to David Barr, and the good news is the group is great. So I didn't even have to, like, you know, lie about it. It was fun to listen to their EP, this new EP that you're listening to here is called Ride with the Hurricane. And you're going to hear all about how David actually rode with the hurricane when he was down in Mexico trying to get in the States. So this is a really fun chat. He dialed in from Southern California, and we had a great chat all about American culture, American music, Scotland, bands, you name it. So really had fun with this. Thanks so much, David, for joining. So let's get started. Here's my conversation with the Moon Kids, David Barr.
Yeah, let's do it, man.
All right. So, David, thanks so much for being on Trading Force.
Thanks for having me.
It's been my pleasure. And, of course, I'm probably going to ask a different question than you've heard from other people, because the second that I saw that you recorded this album in the Scottish borders, I got very excited because my mother's maiden name is Gowanlock.
All right. Okay. So you've got the heritage.
My great-grandfather was from Moorbattle.
All right, okay.
Right by Kelso. I've been there. So let's talk about where you recorded this album and the borders and that process.
Yeah, it's the Mac Arts Centre in a place called Galla Shields on the Scottish border. So it's basically an old church that's been converted into a studio. So it's cool. So it's got like high ceilings and stuff for natural reverb and so on. So it's a really cool place. The people that work there are cool. For us, we're from just outside of Edinburgh, so it's just a case of jumping on a train. It's about an hour and a half there. So it's cool. It's the kind of working environment we get to work through the night kind of thing. Instead of like some places regimented, sort of, you have to be at 9, get out at 5, that kind of thing. Nothing like that. It was just kind of turn up. When you're done, that sort of thing. And it's the EP itself is very much just traditional rock and roll, just four-piece, just instruments. There wasn't a lot of overdubs or anything like that. So yeah, it was a really enjoyable experience. There was a guy called Stephen Watkins that produced the record as well. He's quite a wacky dude, man, but he's cool. He's got good ideas and so on, so he's fun to work with.
That's cool. How long were you down there then to record
it? Just 2 days.
You guys that's like the Beatles with their first album. You just like pounded that out.
I wish, mate. I wish it was like the Beatles. But it's cool. It was just like we'd been working on, because previously like I'd written the songs and we'd go in the studio and I'd have a set idea of what I wanted, and you know, here's the tune. But this one we've been rehearsing as a four-piece.
So real quick, this is a fun question for you. So you've never thought I'd ask you this. So first, I can't even tell you the history. We don't have time, but I know Ian Rankin a little bit.
Do you? Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
And I've had pints with Ian Rankin.
Right. Okay.
And the Ox Bar in Edinburgh.
Oh, nice. Yeah, yeah.
I said, Ian, what do you have a question for these guys? And he said, yeah, he wants to know from where you're from, Skids or Nazareth?
That's the one. Yeah, yeah, of course. So we're from Dunfermline. That's where the Skids came from, and big country as well. I'm sure you've heard of them. Nazareth, they came from there. There's actually a lot of music, especially guitar music, like rock and roll music, that comes from, like, there's a ton of bands our age out there. The main venue is called PJ Malloy's now. It's like, you know, I don't know, it's loads of bands forming there and stuff. And it's like, I don't know, it's just for such a small town, it's got a lot of good music.
No, it's pretty cool to have that much from one little area of town, right?
Oh, yeah, it's tiny. It's really small. Everybody kind of knows each other sort of thing. So it is cool but I think bands like the Skids and Big Country and stuff inspire like younger musicians from that area to kind of get into it. They've kind of shown that like it doesn't matter if you're from that small town, it can still be done. People are interested in Scottish music, stuff like that. So, yeah, it's cool.
No, absolutely. I had him on for a podcast. We talked all about Scottish music, and I always think Average White Band is the most interesting Scottish band because they sound like they're a soul band from, like, I don't know, Cleveland, Ohio. They do not sound like a Scottish band.
Yeah, there's a few bands like Deacon Blue, for example. They don't sound like, apart from maybe the vocals or whatever and the Scottish accent, but the actual sound of it's like got a lot of American influence. So yeah.
No, that's cool. So I've read everything your publicist sent me, and it's very interesting. So we talked about this offline, but so even though it sounds like you're from Scotland because of your accent, you're in California right now, and this is the crazy story, how you came to America. So you can give me the condensed version. You can give me, I don't know how many times you've told this story, but it seems pretty interesting. So let's delve in.
It was just nuts. It was like, obviously, Scotland was just about to go into a lockdown. And I just thought, you know, I need to get out here before that happens. So we were about to put the EP out, and then to get into the States, I had to go to Mexico first, and ended up in a hurricane shelter for 3 days. And the funny thing is that the second line of the song that was just about to come out is, "We used to ride with the hurricanes." So it was almost like it manifested itself into reality. It was crazy. And then 3 months in the States, just like, you know, meeting other musicians, stuff like that. And then when my visa ran out, again, it was a case of going back to Mexico, Costa Rica. And the whole time, I think I've written like an album's worth of songs during this period. So it's been really cool, just because the band couldn't gig, we couldn't rehearse, we couldn't do anything. So I've managed to escape just in time. So we've released the EP, written basically a new album's worth of stuff. And then we've got shot a music video. Half of it was shot in Los Angeles, the other half was shot in Scotland. So it's been cool, man. We've actually had such a productive period. Like, I mean, it's a terrible time and a sad time for a lot of people. But for me, like, opportunities presented themselves within that kind of, you know what I mean, crazy time we were going through. And it's like, I probably wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the lockdown. You know what I mean? So
was this your first time to LA when you got across?
No,
you've been here.
No, I'd been here before when I was younger. I came by myself. I just packed my bags, booked a flight and jumped over, traveled America a little bit. And then the band actually played. We played a couple of shows in Los Angeles. There's a guy called John Ferreter. I'm not sure if you've heard of him, but he brought us over and played a sold out show in Hollywood. Played another gig on the Sunset Strip and stuff like that. And we kind of fell in love with the place and just the people and stuff as well. It was really cool, really different from Scotland.
Yeah.
Different kind. You know, you guys are kind of friendly in your own way. We're friendly in our own way. Just different. It's just nice to, like, I don't know, just see a different aspect of things, like, because we'd only ever played in the UK before.
Okay.
So, cool. Really enjoyed the States, man.
No, it's so funny because I've obviously been to LA, I don't know, a lot. And I've been to Edinburgh once. Loved it. I just absolutely loved it. It's a beautiful place. It's a beautiful country. People were great. The whole time, David, I'd have to be like, I'm so sorry about Trump. Like, I didn't vote for him, you know? Right. And everybody in Scotland was so nice. It's like, oh, it's okay. We've got Brexit. Like, we've got our own problems. You know, they're very kind back. So
of course. Yeah.
So I'm interested. So is it the sunshine of LA is it the music history of LA that you're interested in? What is it about LA?
Both. Obviously, like, we come from somewhere that's like most of the year's gray and cold. So it's nice to, like, get out in the sunshine, get some color about your Scottish skin. And of course, the music history, all the amazing 60s bands, stuff like that. Like, obviously, if you're into guitar music, then, like, Los Angeles has, you know, this massive history. So it's, yeah, just stuff like that, just so different. So that's what I love. And, like, on this trip now, I'm going to go to Austin, Texas, Memphis, Nashville, and just really actually see all these, like, places with great musical heritage, because it's, like, it's something that I've always wanted to do and it's excited me. So as a songwriter and as a musician, I feel like it's my duty to check this kind of stuff out.
No, that's great. All those cities. Mm-hmm. I lived in Austin for a while in the early 90s.
Really? Well, I hear great things about the place, especially the food. So I'm looking forward to it.
Well, if you like really good Mexican food...
I don't know if I can handle any more Mexican food, mate, after 3 months in Mexico.
Yeah.
There's only so many rice and beans you can eat.
It's Tex-Mex. It's not legit. Yeah. It's Americans' take on it. And then everybody in Austin is going to tell you that they have the best barbecue in the world.
Well, that's what I hear. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
But people here in Kansas City will tell you we have the best barbecue in the world.
All right. Okay. So what do you say?
So I wanted to, I listened to the album, really dug it, watched the video and stuff. So I'm curious about, so this, Ride With The Hurricane, like you had talked, you touched a little bit about it, but it's a little just serendipity that you were stuck in a hurricane. That's not why you wrote the song. It was written and all that. And you talked a little bit about kind of going with the punches, right? Like taking your lumps, but coming back. And that's kind of the idea of the song, right?
Well, that's what's funny. That's kind of like the sort of general idea behind the whole EP. So it was just like, I don't know, the whole hurricane shelter thing just kind of, that was me experiencing that in reality. Do you know what I mean? It was like 3 days, no showers. It was like, at one point, it was like the strongest hurricane in however many years and all this kind of stuff. So you didn't know what was going to happen. I'm from Scotland, so I've never been through a hurricane before. So
right.
It was quite scary. Obviously, during COVID as well, which was crazy because we were all, there was like 300 people in each room. You're talking about thousands of travelers. You know, all we were allowed was the clothes on our backs. We had no luggage, masks, that was it. And it was just like, but then again, what came from it was a story to tell at the end of the day. And I survived it. So, do you know what I mean? That's kind of that kind of thing. Ride With The Hurricanes, it's just like saying weather the storm, that kind of thing. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. You know, Scotland obviously is known for, like you said, it's the dreary, right? It's the rain, it's the cold. Mm-hmm. The funny thing, when I was there, it was like sunny and 72 every day and everybody was like hot. It was like people from Scotland.
Like, when it's hot like that, what they say in Scotland is taps off, which means time to get the tops off. Do you know what I mean? So that's funny. Yeah, taps off.
Yeah. So you have your weather.
Go ahead. Where were you? Were you in Edinburgh? Was it when it was sunny? Where were you in Scotland?
I was there. I was in Edinburgh in July of 2018. I stayed in an Airbnb right by the University of Edinburgh.
Right. Well, cool. Well, I think Edinburgh's beautiful when it's sunny. I love it. Great.
Yeah,
city.
We could see Arthur's Seat, like, was really close.
Awesome. Nice one.
So I actually, if you don't care, I have a really funny Scotland story, if you have a minute.
Right, yeah, let's go for it.
So our flight got canceled. Uh-huh. We were flying from New York right into Edinburgh. And so it got canceled and we got stuck. So we were coming in. I hadn't slept in I don't know how many hours. We land at like midnight Edinburgh time. Try to go to bed. But the sun comes up, David, at like 4:50 in the morning in July, right?
Yeah, you need to get the blackout sheet. So that's what you need. Yeah.
So I'm wide awake. I'm like, okay. And then we go to pick up the room because I wanted to see where my family was from. And this is the only day I could do it. And so we get a rental car. The stick shift's on the wrong side. You know, I'm not used to that. The queen was in town. We got stopped because the queen's entourage stopped us. And I was like, oh my God, this is like the biggest, like this. So we finally got down there. It was great. But at the end of the day, that's when I went to the Ox Bar. But what a beautiful country. And, you know, Moorbattle's just a teeny little town. But I actually found my great grandfather's headstone even. So it's kind of cool. 2021, what are your plans? I mean, you're getting vaccinated.
I think I'll need to at some point. I think that's the way it's going, isn't it? It's like whether you want to or not. So if you want to travel, if you want to be able to, just the way the world at the moment. So like, I don't really know what I make of it, but if you have to do it, you have to do it. So for the next 3 months, I'm going to be traveling the States, like I said, doing some things, writing. I'm going to probably end up recording some stuff when I get to Nashville. And then when I get back, it'll just be like hitting the gigs hard. Cause obviously we've not been able to gig for over a year now. Our last gig was in Glasgow over a year ago.
Right.
So we've not even performed the new EP live yet. So we're excited to do that. You know what I mean? Because it is very much the songs came about from a live band in a rehearsal room. So now it's time to get out there and perform them how they should be heard. So we'll just be doing that for the rest of the year. And then after that, we'll just be back in the studio working on new material and hopefully coming across here to play some shows.
That'd be great. Are your bandmates jealous that you're stuck here and they're stuck over there?
I'm sure they probably are, yeah, because they've been locked down for the past however many months and I've been roaming free doing my own thing. So, yeah, I'm sure they're, but I'm sure they're happy for me at the same time.
No, but I could see that. That's, you know, it's a lot more fun to be in California, right?
Well, and obviously when I was in Mexico and stuff, it wasn't locked down. So I was in the beautiful sunshine doing what I want to do, writing music, meeting new people. Do you know what I mean? So I've been very, very fortunate during this period because a lot of people, you know, have been the opposite way. But this year has, like I say, created a lot of opportunities for me and I'm just thankful and feel blessed.
No, absolutely. So when you go to Austin, I assume you're going to go down to 6th Street. You want to see where Stevie Ray Vaughan played. You want to see where Willie Nelson was playing.
Yeah.
All that. So then
for all that, man.
And then Memphis,
all the Elvis stuff.
Stack Sound, mm-hmm. all that, right? Otis Redding. Were you a Jeff Buckley fan at all? Because that's where Jeff
Buckley. Yeah, absolutely. I love Jeff Buckley, man. Brilliant. Superb.
So apparently he used to go to the zoo all the time in Memphis. And so there's actually a part like the butterfly place that his family dedicated to him that you can go.
Really?
Kind of a way to honor. Jeff Buckley was so talented, wasn't he?
Oh, I mean, of course.
It was amazing. Mm-hmm. And then Nashville, you know, it started, it was like a country place, right? But now there's everybody's in Nashville, it seems like.
That's it. Yeah. It's Kings of Leon were based there, were they not? Nashville and stuff like that. So it's just like more general now. It's just rock and roll. So that's cool. That's going to be exciting.
So what do you want to do in Nashville? You said maybe record, and who do you want to meet up with?
Well, there's some people that I'm getting introduced to and stuff like that, just like other musicians and so on, maybe some songwriting sessions, things like that, which will be really cool for me. Maybe even do a couple of acoustic shows, you know, jump on, do 5 tracks, acoustic, something like that. So, yeah, it's just, like I say, like things are only just starting to open back up. So it's, now plans are starting to formulate and stuff like that. So
yeah.
just be going out and just checking it out and just vibing on Nashville.
Yeah, you feel like I've had like 5 people on from Nashville, and I don't think any of them is a country person, right? So
really,
so that yeah, right. Damon Johnson, who used to he played with Thin Lizzy for a bit, and Alice Cooper, he's got his own band, he lives there.
Uh-huh.
Slim Gamble, who's the guitar player for Lady Antebellum, which they're Lady A now, he lives there. I mean, like, there's all these people that live there that you wouldn't expect that would live there.
Yeah, I think maybe musicians just go there because they realize, you know, it's a musical place, and you're going to be rubbing shoulders with other talented people and stuff like that. And that's what you want to be doing.
Right.
So yeah, you never know. I might come back a country singer. Who knows? We might change into some kind of mad UK country rock and roll band. Never know.
You know, it's interesting because, and you know this, I'm sure, but a lot of the reason how country first developed was it was the Scotch-Irish, right, that came to the United States and went to Appalachia. And took some of that folk music that they had brought over.
Mm-hmm.
And then it got kind of over time mixed and matched. And it's really what became country music.
Well, exactly. That's how all things developed. You know what I mean? It's all like a melting pot of different things. So yeah, it's cool.
Yeah. Johnny Cash.
There you go.
His family was Scottish. I don't know if you knew that.
Didn't know that, mate. Honestly, didn't know that.
No, his whole paternal side is all,
every day.
All Scottish. So for people that are discovering you, the Moon Kids for the first time, David, what's the best way for them to follow you? Are you guys Twitter people? Are you Facebook people? Are you Instagram? If hearing this podcast for the first time?
All of them. So if you go on Instagram, it's just the Moon Kids. Twitter, the_MoonKids. Facebook, again, the Moon Kids. So we're on all social media. Spotify, of course, go on and check out what we've released so far. YouTube, you see our music videos, interviews, just all the usual.
And you've been around since your first album was 2014,
mm-hmm.
correct?
Yeah, the first EP was 2014, yeah. So while, and then we had a little bit of a sort of like a couple of years where it was just like we were in the studio writing. We didn't really release anything or put ourselves out there. It was just kind of, you know, I mean, more sort of getting things together in the background and then started releasing music again. So this is actually only the second EP.
Right.
So obviously the next focus is on the album. So that's what I've always wanted to do, is put an album out. But you could put it out to begin with and then maybe, you know what I mean, it's not got the platform that it needs to be heard. So, you know, you build it up with the EPs and the singles, and then hopefully by the time you put an album out, you know, people are looking forward to it. It's going to get heard. So yeah.
So growing up in Scotland, what did you listen to? What got you into music?
Oh, well, I actually grew up, my dad was a big music fan. So he had like a sort of DIY studio, and him and his friends used to record like local bands. They would come in. So even as a kid, I remember just sitting in the corner of the studio when they were all, so basically as a baby, I was like into it. You know what I mean? I remember them all sitting like partying and making music, and me going up and trying to sneak. They had like a beer can, drinking the beer, but they've been using it as an ashtray all night, so I've got a mouthful of ash at the age of 5 years old. You know what I mean? Set the tone for the rest of my life. But That's quite funny. So yeah, so there was that. My dad was a big Bowie fan. That's why I'm called David. So grew up listening to rock and roll. The Beatles were always getting played. The first person I got into as a kid was actually Michael Jackson.
Okay.
Obviously, you know what I mean? The songwriting and the musicians are just incredible on it. From that, I think the first album I bought myself was Oasis, like a lot of guys in my area. It's What's the Story of Morning Glory.
Right.
So that was the first thing. I was like, right, cool. I'm into this, man. I want to be in a band now. And then I went to a music festival and it was Britpop music, 90s, indie, you know, the sort of UK side of it that brought me into it. But then from that, you just get into everything. I like the stuff that you're into with the 90s.
Right.
Grunge bands. I liked Nirvana. I liked it all. So yeah, I'm just a big music guy. So it's like, I just respect good songs. One of my favorite bands actually is called the Laz. You know, that sing the There She Goes.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
So them, like their album, I think is like one of the greatest albums of all time. So that was always, as a songwriter, I always wanted to write a song as good as Lee Mavers could write.
So like Teenage Fan Club, that's like a 90s band that was bigger over there, right, than here, correct?
Teenage Fan Club, yeah, but I didn't really get big into Teenage Fan Club. I think who we recorded the first EP with, Michael Brennan, I'm pretty sure he worked with Teenage Fan Club. So when we first went into the studio, he works with like Nine Inch Nails and Super Furry Animals and stuff like that. So he was like a big mentor when we first went into the studio. So yeah, there's like... just all that kind of stuff, just 90s is like a big influence, I think.
Right. So when did you form this band? And I'm looking at the stuff you got, Connor on guitar, Craig on bass, and Michael on drums, correct?
That's right, yeah. So it was actually me and Craig started it, and then Craig went off and did his own thing. And then we had a different drummer and a different guitar player. And then when Connor joined, that was kind of when it was like, and then Craig came back, and then that's the lineup that you see today. So yeah, it's been a couple of changes here and there, like a lot of bands, but you know, I mean, we've got a solid lineup now and it's like, it really works. It gels, you know, things come together naturally. So it's good.
No. And are these all guys from the neighborhood or are they from?
Absolutely. Yeah. 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 We all live like within, well, Dunfermline's tiny anyway. So it's just like 5-10 minute walk from each other. Me and Craig, we were at the same school. We studied art together. So we met in like the art class and we were like the two guys that were good at painting and drawing. And, you know, we related to each other through that. We started learning instruments when we were like 13, 14 at the same time. You know, I started first and then I was like, you should learn the bass. So we would learn together, start writing together. We grew up playing music together as well. So it's like two sets of mates that grew up together doing music, like joining together.
No, that's great. You know what that reminds me of? Are you telling me that story about the art school? That's, you know, John Lennon and Paul McCartney. That's how they met.
Yeah, well, that, well, there you go. It's cool. So that was like me and Craig. We used to like go on art trips together to like art galleries and stuff like that. But with the school, and it was like we were the only guys that were like into music out of our friend group at that time. So yeah.
And Stu Sutcliffe was from Edinburgh, right? The original.
Was he really? I didn't know that, mate.
Yeah, again, I think so.
You're teaching me here.
Oh, dude, I'm just
old. You're a wealth of knowledge, mate.
I'm just old. That's why I know this. Nice. Well, it's really nice to meet you. I wish you the best of success. I really hope the world opens up for a million reasons sooner than later. And you get to have as much fun in the States. Go to all the great music cities. If you ever make it here, we can give you the tour about all the, you know, Charlie Parker and Count Basie.
Absolutely, mate. Absolutely.
Big Joe Turner was awesome. All these people. And it's actually a really good music scene right now again. So
cool. Nice. Cool. Well, mate, you never know on this road trip, man. I might just pass Kansas. Who knows?
You might. America, does that, and before I go, does that kind of blow you away? America is so big, right?
Yeah, well, already, like, I've been around most of California and stuff like that, and it's crazy just how different each part is. Like, I was in San Francisco during, like, the main sort of lockdown, and that was crazy. Went to Alcatraz and so on, but it was, like, the actual city itself was just, like, a zombie apocalypse, do you know what I mean? It was crazy to see all these skyscraper buildings and stuff, and it was just homeless people, like, throughout the streets. It was like, whoa, this is, like, a dark atmosphere, you know what I mean? That was when it was, like... this COVID thing is really hitting home now. So but it's just cool for me, again, being from a small town in Scotland, to get around and see the majority of the States is almost like a dream come true for me. You know, I grew up on American films. America was always this big place that you wanted to see, but you didn't know if you would ever get to. So I've seen a lot of it now, and I'm going to see a lot more of it. So, yeah.
What's your favorite American films? What do you like to watch?
My favorite American film? My favorite American film is actually that 70s film, The Warriors.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So that's why I love that film. That's the one.
Right.
But that's why we called ourselves the Moon Kids. I know it was just like, what we're going to call the band, we've got a gig. And I was like, what about that film, The Warriors? What if we pick like a name that sounds like a gang, like the Orphans and stuff like that, that would fit in that film? And we just picture like leather jackets with the Moon Kids on the back and stuff like that. Like, right, fuck it, the Moon Kids. So yeah.
So that's very cool. See, I'm glad I asked. I found something. Well, you know, that's so funny because that movie was like a total. So I grew up, you know, I was born in 68. So I was in high school in the 1980s. And that movie already was like this retro cult thing. Even by that point, it was already kind of this like niche thing. And that's why I can still quote it. That's why I quoted it for you. So it's funny that even 20 years later in Scotland, it still like finds an audience.
Oh, mate. I actually remember it the first time I saw it. I was just a kid. And it was like, it was time to go to my bed. And my dad was like, right, you can stay up a bit later. This is The Warriors. It's a great film. Do you know what I mean? And then I probably watched that about 100 times. It's just so cool, just the idea of it. You know what I mean? Fighting your way out of Coney Island or back to Coney Island, should I say. Just cool.
Yeah, that was neat when New York was a much different place than New York is today.
In the sense that it was a lot more dangerous.
It was much more dangerous.
Right, okay. Got you.
Well, now you go to New York, and I love New York. Like, we have friends in New York, and before COVID, we'd probably go there about once a year. But, you know, Times Square, I don't go to Times Square because it's basically Disneyland. Like, it's like, I don't want to go look at the Olive Garden. Like, it's not the cool part of New York, right?
It's just the touristy bit, isn't it?
Every tourist on the planet's there, and you do not want to go. Like, there's so many cool areas in New York that I really love. Times Square is not it.
When I went, I stayed in Greenwich Village, and I absolutely loved it, man. And again, like the heritage with Jimi Hendrix and stuff like that. It's just so cool and just a really vibey place. So, yeah.
Yeah, Bob Dylan, man.
Aye, exactly.
No, that's very cool. Well, David, it's nice to meet you.
You too, man.
I appreciate the time. I wish you the best of luck with the EP. And it's out everywhere, correct? Right with the hurricane, you can find
everywhere.
It.
Everywhere. Go and check it out.
And I'll put links to all this in the show notes.
Thank you.
And you have an open invitation. You ever come to Kansas City? We'd love to take it. And we'll show you that the barbecue here is better than what they're going to tell you.
Right. Nice one. I appreciate that, mate. Thanks a lot.
All right. Be careful, man. Have a good weekend.
Well done, mate. Catch you later. Right. Bye. He's got trouble on his mind. Shit that he can't leave behind. Another
Sunday. His words echo through the gray. David Barr, everybody, with the Moon Kids, and I apologize, it's Ride with the Hurricanes, plural, not Ride with the Hurricane. I screwed that up twice. I apologize to David and everybody in the Moon Kids, but really appreciated it, and it was so great to talk to him. Check out the new EP. Again, it's everywhere you can get music. It's out, and this is one of the tracks, and digging it, and I was just, man, it's always fun to talk about rock and roll. That's always going to be my home. Musically, I'll talk to everybody about anything, but you know, rock and roll is always going to be what's closest to my heart, so appreciate that. Hey, next time I'm going to introduce you to like possibly the coolest family in Kansas City. I've got Angela Ward, who is this amazing pianist. She plays Mean Piano Man, and she has been during the whole lockdown. Her husband is the bassist of JWB, that's the name of the band. Her son is the drummer, JWB, and she plays keys, and they just jam. They have these basement tapes. They're amazing. And I kind of told her that I want to be adopted, or like a distant cousin. So that's next time. She's super cool. That's 1 week from today. We're going to talk all about that. And until then, go out and support live music, and we'll talk real soon. Bye-bye. Trouble on his mind, shit that he can't leave behind.